Content behind this website is content driven. So what I want to do is open up opportunities, additional opportunities to create content that can either be on the air and, or both on the air and on the web and have some web exclusive. One of the ideas that has been going around is that we take a model, if you're familiar with Vice magazine, they produce kind of immersive journalistic pieces. I think we should somewhat take that model and produce content in that way, but with our mission statement and our values, exploring various social issues and ills in Southern California, and also providing solutions. This also gives an opportunity for members of the community at large to, one, engage engage with other members in their community to have their issues addressed. I hope I'm answering your question, but in terms of having proposals on the table, I can't give you an exact number. Alan and myself, we do get a number. You want to mention anything? We do get a number of proposals all the time, but until we really fix the house, there isn't going to be significant changes as of yet. Michael Novick, proposed cuts. Until we finish the quarterlies, which when we met with Tracy the other day, I think she had explained that she is working on it. That is the priority I've set for her. And once we do have those numbers and we can look at how we performed over the last 3 months and possibly compare it to how we've done in 2013-2014 fiscal year, and we'll be able to make some concrete decisions on where will we cut. Yes, the state of the station, as it is not going to be saved financially by just cuts alone. When I did step into this position, having been working at KPFK, I felt it was necessary that we also got to start thinking about generating a significant amount of revenue off the air. And we've set up some resources for both board members and programmers to utilize to help raise some funds. You know, the text to donate, double donations and volunteer grants. I've taken upon myself to apply for grants, and I certainly call on members of the community and members of the board to send us any grant opportunities that we can apply for to raise additional funds off the air. I wasn't quite sure about your question about the listener survey.
Just to say more about that process towards refreshing and the programming and increasing our listenership.
Okay. I felt it was necessary that we do allow the listeners to give us some feedback that will help guide our decision-making process or help address their concerns and take on some of their suggestions. I'm going to leave the survey up for 3 months, and once it's complete, I will certainly provide those findings and maybe publish the data part of it. There's certain aspects of the survey that are written, and I'll provide the full report to the board once it's complete. How much time are we looking at?
We're at 18 minutes already.
All right.
Other board members want to ask questions.
Okay, let me read through this. Digitizing the phone room. Kind of touched on volunteer coordinating. Teddy has been working some additional hours to help us be able to coordinate our volunteers and still welcome them in. We're also working on revamping our internship and apprenticeship program, which should be ready to be publicly announced sometime next month. The advertising, well, I've heard mixed things. Some folks say we shouldn't be doing advertising. And I've heard great things in the community, and I love the pictures that some of our listeners have taken next to the bus benches and programmers as well. I think it's necessary that we do that, but having faced some of the financial circumstances we're in, you know, we'll have to look at reducing that. One of the good things that came out of the advertising is someone had that likes one of our billboards and said you might want to consider speaking to the advertising, the ad council, because they do provide some billboards and whatnot for nonprofits. So I've already initiated those conversations with them.
All right. We have a new list forming. Steve was first on it. You want to be on it? Who else would like to be on it to ask a question to the judge? Okay, we'll start with Steve and Tez. Steve, you're on. You're in mic, Steve.
Just a quick question as a programmer about the renovations to Studio A, which we haven't heard about in a long, long time. And there have been rumors of the money being spent on other things. I just wonder, is that something that's going to happen? What is the plan for that?
Okay.
Thank you. And my question is regarding your comment about programs related to their content, those being on the website. I was wondering, is there a reading that can be done of programs that have a lot of financial support? I don't know if that's a reading knowing that the listeners have access to the internet, because going on to the online with the specific content and then having your listeners have access to online are two separate things. So I didn't know how that was going to be rated.
Okay.
Let's
stop at this point.
Or how that would be looked
at.
It was regarding your comment that about programs going on to a website with their, depending on their content, and but not everybody would have access to online resources. Generally those that, I don't know, it takes money. So I didn't know if that would be a factor which shows that show a lot of income, if those shows would be the ones, so there's a guarantee that listeners can follow.
No. Is there more questions or should I answer?
No.
Okay. In terms of that, I wasn't saying that we'll push programs just exclusively onto the web. I mean, that may be that's on a case-by-case basis. What I'm saying with the website is I want it to be content-driven, and that there would be content that we would ask members of the community, such as immersive journalistic pieces, that they would produce that would be debuted, you know, on the web, particularly our YouTube channel as we go to develop that. You know, they may do a piece, on homelessness on Skid Row and do a 30-minute, an hour piece that would include a visual aspect of it. I think we should start, you know, putting energy into generating content on multimedia, you know, on various levels of media. And, you know, some of it would be broadcast in a special time slot if necessary, but again, on a case-by-case basis. But our website, hands down, the purpose of the new website is going to be content-driven.
I would like one. Is there anybody from the board who wanted to ask a question who hasn't yet had a chance to? Yes. John? All right. Anyone else?
Should I answer the CDOA question?
No, hold on. Mike, did you still have a question?
Yes.
Mike? All right. So, and then we'll see where we're at. We're probably going to be out of time. We're 22 minutes down. John, your question?
It's actually an answer.
Oh.
Yeah, this is your universal internet access device. Almost every cell phone these days can handle wireless, and as poor as people are, they tend to have cell phones. So that'll cut into the lack of internet access problem.
Sometimes they're not connected.
Thank you. Okay.
Mike. Steve Bryant's question wasn't answered yet. I just wanted to remind the board and the GM that the board this year did pass two motions. One was to establish the development task force, which has gotten off ground a little bit. The other was to urge the management to initiate a process of strategic planning for the station, incorporating the staff, governance, and the listeners. And I'm wondering if you can comment on where that stands.
Onto the Studio A, we are still working towards installing a multi-track studio in Studio A, so we can do some world-class recording there and possibly raise some funds that way. We are still raising funds from it, and the station has borrowed against those accounts. That's nothing new. The station has done that, not just during my tenure, but the station has done that even before my tenure. But I'll keep it at that. Going to the development task force is one of the reasons why they put this, not report together, but sort of, you know, what the KPFK, because I feel in order to develop a strategic plan, we need to know what our goals are. So these are the goals I'm setting for the station, and I look forward to having conversations with both the board, members of the community, staff on all levels, and talking about how we can achieve these goals this year.
All right. And we have 30 seconds.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that digitally, KPFK is performing very well. If you look at even our Facebook page, it has as many likes as all the other Pacifica stations combined. Hmm. If you go on TuneIn Radio, we have much higher percentage of listeners compared to, say, our percent of KPZ listeners on Arbitron. Mm-hmm. And, of course, our podcast and our online listenership, as Ali can say, have gone up very large. Huge problem for KPFK and Pacifica is we have not figured out how to monetize this. Our listenership on the web is almost certainly not contributing live to the fund drive. So all the on-air fund drive, one of the reasons we're hurting too is we're not capturing those listeners and they're not contributing any at all monetarily to us. It's a big issue for us going forward.
Follow up with Alan's comment.
30 seconds left. Okay, just briefly, Alan, why do you think this is?
I think one of the reasons KPFK does disproportionately well relative to stations like KPZZ and KTRW is we're more quilted, we're less stripped, so people start getting podcasts for their favorite show, whether it's, you know, in contrast to remembering they have to listen to Thursday at 3 or whatever day it might be on, right? And then the monetizing is because we're just not on top of it at all.
Before we get to our public comment, we did want to announce that we have a sign-up list for committees, and so that's going to be passed around. This is for the local station board and the public. If anybody just came in also, there's some food next door. Can you help yourself? So it's time for public comment. 60 seconds per speaker. And these are questions directed to the general manager.
And I want 2.5 minutes.
That's correct.
I'm sorry. My comment.
Hold on. Wait a second. Everybody's not. Hold on one second. Wait, hold on. Hold on, I don't want you to. People understand it's 60 seconds per speaker, and we have the total time.
7.5.
No, we added.
I know.
From you said
12 minutes total.
12 minutes.
We added 12 minutes.
There will be another public comment section. This one is specific questions for the general manager. Am I on or what?
Yeah, you're on.
Thank you. Both Luis Garcia. First, Rodrigo Argueta, and then Luis Garcia. These are very burgeoning issues that Sueberry, update you and me perhaps. Okay, and I've been around for a while, you have been around for a while. These are issues with programming, but apparently Alan Minsky does not get involved when these issues are raised. And he is singularly responsible in the background, manipulating, coordinating, executing programming changes. These are two important issues. The only Chicano program that we had was removed back in 2010. Without consulting the listenership, and it was done unilaterally for political reasons. Today, in 2011, and we're in 2015 now, a motion was passed by the PNB to extend further timing across the board, at least Monday through Friday, for Spanish programming. You have not addressed those issues. Content-driven websites will not address it. Thank you, Zuber. Thank you.
Thank you, Zuberi. Thank you. Welcome. During the Martin Luther King's play, I didn't see any programmer except Norma Martinez and Fernando, you know, interviewing live from the plane. But some of the programmers, instead of sitting at the station and interviewing people from the State Department, should have been there and see the crowd, you know. An outreach committee will carry, you know, KPFK banner all over and passing out the flyers. The programmer on the from KPFK should be on the street. These two people are unpaid and they did a great job. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nancy Lawrence. I'm with the Peace and Freedom Party and Labor Committee Strategy Center. I'm concerned about you mentioning the idea of getting help from the Ad Council.
Right.
I mean, this group, since the early 80s, has been putting sponsoring these ads, which have a strong connection with the Pentagon and other establishment sources. And ever since the ads started coming on, the American people have fallen more and more asleep, and now we have this state where everything is commercialized, be a good citizen, behave yourself. I mean, it's all very condescending, and they treat us like children, the Ad Council. So I do not use them. We need to fight against the TPP and things like that and climate change. Thank you.
Please, I'm Dion, here to rise with the rise of the Black Lives Movement as well as struggles in Africa. We feel that black strip programming has been under attack for public affairs. A blues show, which is cool, I love the blues, but that's being replaced for some spot. We don't own it yet. And we feel that, you know, we're great for singing and dancing and sports, but it comes to public analysis from our community, people don't want to hear it. The lack of ethics, lack of notification, lack of meeting with us for the black programmers categorically has not occurred. Tavis Smiley, Cornell Scott has been taken out, and I think replaced the European, Sam Brown, with the best program in the country on the media, gone. Bobby Dino, before he died, came to me crying the blues because two of his shows were wiped out. Charlene Mohammed, Rita Now, Assunta Spotlight Africa, very, very upset. Even Bill Gardner, I talked to him in 2 years, he was just totally freaked out because all black programmers, we don't know where we stand at all.
Yeah.
And we're being replaced and bounced around like these slaves in a plantation. We're very fed up with that, you know? So I just wish that we'd get a little more, especially black IGN, they'd get a little more respect. That we not replace the song and dance. I'm not saying it's not replace the song and dance, but black public affairs is critical to this historical point.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ryan DeShazer, director of the Pacific Archives. And I just wanted to come today to definitely alert you to the fact that the archives is in peril, just like all the other stations, and as it sort of trickles down. We are at a point where we are looking at reductions, and the full board passed a motion Thursday a week ago, February 8th, I believe it was, that the archives was to come up with a plan to raise what would amount to $100,000 to $125,000 from unbudgeted resources, meaning out of the sky, creative ideas, or cut the staff, which, without an impact statement for that motion, endangers the National Archives grant, which is a federal contract, which could endanger CTV money and endanger further grants from the foundation. So it not only endangers our project, but it endangers the station and the foundation. So right now, you can't solve this today, can you?
No.
So what I'm going to ask you to do, there is an archives task force that was created from the full PNB. I think there's four or five members right now that are trying to come up with a meeting so that we can dialogue about that impact, so we can make some changes, but also be sure to communicate with every programmer in the network that we have to do some promotions and fundraising. All right, thanks.
Israel, again, I'd like to suggest to invite response and follow-up from the board on listener comments that have any value or questions, as against merely letting us vent and it evaporates into the wild blue yonder. I think that would be helpful all the way around. Secondly, keep in mind, when we had this big battle over a decade ago, I think the slogans were democracy, accountability, and transparency. Well, it's questionable if we have very much of them. When we do, is they compress accountability reports on legal cases or programming or finances into 2 or 3 minutes is really not adequate. And that's where some of the committees could do a better job to help the board be more efficient, because all the time is wasted here on who's president, who's absent, who's excused. It's sort of pointless unless a sense of priorities need to be set. For example, the Program Oversight Committee, a lot of our discussions are programming, hasn't met in about 2 years. In about 2 years. To be continued, as usual.
I'd like to object to the disparity that happens. Like KPFK, certain programs are preempted during the fund drive because they don't make any money. Others, they just tag along with Lisa Carr or Christine Blasdale, and they stay. Others are preempted throughout the entire fund drive sometimes, and that's not fair. I think we ought to have one rule for everybody. You know, some shows do not make money, even if the company is directed to the middle class. Well, the middle class is not the only game in town, okay? So please, okay, this is not a station that's supposed to be catering only to the middle class. We are not Barack Obama and his Democrats, last time I checked. The other thing that I want to suggest to get the game management is that we ought to pay attention to the drive time hours when people are away from their television set, inside a car, in the freeway. Those are the hours where you ought to invest your resources in promoting heavily and make sure that they are good programs, not because they're the friends of the management, okay?
That's right.
Thank you.
I want to speak on behalf of the Proactive Soul and all of us, and also the youth. I was introduced to KPFK about 14 years ago, and I really love the musical programming. That's what brought me in. At the same note, they lost me about 4 or 5 years ago because the musical programming went so down the drain, especially prime time when it's like 9, 10. Other radio stations like KCOW is playing amazing music. I want to hear some amazing music. When I don't, I turn it off and I stop putting money into as a subscriber. So I think it's very important for us to recruit new subscribers by music that really speaks to the youth and the newer generation. I think we're forgetting them. I try to be the change that I want to see in the world. However, I've often noticed there's talk shows that a lot of my co-youth proactive is not interested in listening to, and people like me and some of the great shows are pushing to like 6 a.m. So, 4 a.m. So, we consider that. Thank you.
Go Tigers. I'm the Santana Westbrook. I host True Seekers Radio. I want to say first, the reputation of the station is based on the programs that you have on. So all the fighting that goes on behind the scene, whether it's the board or with management, really the people who's character and what they put forth is the volunteer programmers. I don't know what the percent is for paid, but as a volunteer, I feel like my money that I make for my family is shared and given to the station wholeheartedly with my time and my actual money. So I just want it to be like, without any action, there won't be any resolution. So having these interim titles, I think it's important that you make a person like Alan, if he's going to be the program director, make him the program director. That way, he can make the decisions without all the infighting, and that there's a level of respect that he can get, or whoever that person is, with an interim title. Everybody has open season, and they're afraid to make a decision.
Thank you, Dave Johnson, the Community Advisory Board Facilitator. I would like to thank Brian Shazer for coming today, but I'd also like to request the members that are going to serve on the PMB to insist that other stations carry a one-hour archive program per week, that we should, quote, advertise the fact that the material that they just heard is available. And one of the things that we hear at our CAB meetings is that members of the public request, a certain percentage request, that the material be available on CD. And they've even said that they would like the material, even if it was less material, even if it was more expensive, they want some on CD, not just flash drive. And I think that might help with revenue. The other thing is that if the website becomes more content-based, I would really like to request that any of our hosts that write articles that appear on Common Dreams and other locations, that those articles are linked and appear on our website. And I'd also like to request that even the cartoons, say for someone like Lalo, might appear on our website as well. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and I apologize for taking this particular position as opposed to standing. I want to address a little something of what Fernando said. When I came into this meeting this afternoon, one of the first people to come and talk to me was Lawrence Reyes. And Lawrence told me, Pedro, I'm still getting a lot of positive feedback regarding the show you did with the young lords that I was on. And I was very, very, very much grateful to hear that, because it showed that we, the Hutchinson Report, can raise money. Now, I have always gone on every fund drive and asked, what would you like us to do? What would you like the Hutchinson Report to do so that we can bring in revenue? Because we don't just want to feel like we're just sitting there for an hour. Yes, we do shows. We put time into it. But we also want to be able to help feed the kitty, because that's what it's all about. We have to think in that term. And every time that I have made suggestions, they've been rejected. They've been declined. I don't understand why. I think that all of us who are programmers who want to be part of the fundraising mechanism should be allowed to do it. We showed that we could raise money. And for a show that we put together, it took me about 2 weeks to put all of that together, we raised close to $800. Now, that's not a great sum. I agree. But this was 12 noon on a Saturday afternoon. I think we did a hell of a good job.
Thank you.
Would you give the suggestions too? Excuse me, it's out of order, Ms. Dr. Winger. No, in public comment, and we have two minutes. One more, one more. Rodrigo, Rodrigo, we have one more. Reporter, somebody, public comment. There's a minute and 40 seconds left. I am very specific on my show. I have written a seven-page, 45-minute memoir of 55 years here at KPFK. It's not boring. It's funny. It's serious. If you didn't know that a young Jewish man was the president of the American Nazi Party here, you'll find out from me. Anyway, on the show this week, I said, do you want to come down and be part of this to the listeners? I'm telling you, because you are some of you, my listeners. Come down and have breakfast with me. Come and listen to the program. I will read this, and then we'll all go out to breakfast. Because I have four ideas for contacting and getting closer to the listeners. One is cabaret night, which we used to do. One is Friends of KPFK, which is a lot of fun. And another one is Scrapbook, which Alan, I'm begging Alan to do with me. It's going to be listener response. People can send things to us. We'll do stuff. Anybody can be part of the program. The 7th of February, any of you who want to come and hear about my 55 years and have breakfast with your neighbor, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Two and a half minutes.
There were too many questions in my comments, but please, if I haven't addressed your issue or you'd like to resolve some issues and or come up with solutions, you know where to reach me. But I will utilize the remainder of these 2 minutes to say this. It's been a privilege working at KPFK. Started as a volunteer, eager to learn about radio. I did start out in commercial radio and immediately was attracted to public radio, particularly KPFK. And I started in the phone room, and the phone room is very important to me, and I do want to see that come back. And I think, you know, in part of that, I became a part of a community at KPFK. And I'd have to say that experience and then those beginning years, it seemed to be more inclusive than it is now. And during my tenure as interim general manager, I've been wanting to bring that sense back, the sense of community and camaraderie in at KPFK. I think together we can accomplish a lot and we can create a great impact in Los Angeles. I think it's very important that we start doing this now, because we got a presidential election coming up soon. And I want this station to be in a position to provide the community the necessary information, give the voices that haven't made heard the opportunity. The opportunity to talk about their experiences and solutions to solve problems in our community. There's a lot of relationship repair that's got to go on at the station. And I'm not trying to obstruct people's visions or whatnot, but it all starts with talking and working with one another and having an understanding, because, you know, we can look at issues from many perspectives. As I said when I did start this position, is that if you don't understand my decisions or why I made a decision, please come talk to me rather than making assumptions, because I make every effort not to make assumptions about anyone. I give them the benefit of the doubt, and we can agree to disagree if it comes down to it. But in closing, we all here in this room have an opportunity to make KPFK stronger, not just by complaining, not just by bickering and infighting, but let's work together. Let's come up with solutions. I don't necessarily have all the answers to save the station. I don't think any one of us do. But together as a KPFK community and family, we certainly can move the station forward and set it on a path to thrive rather than just hanging on survive.
Thank you, Jerry. Okay, we are on to our next item. Do we know where that list is going around for sign-ups? Okay.
Can I say something about this list? This is going to go out to the public as well. These are the committees of the local station board that were mentioned earlier that meet, finance meetings, so on and so forth. Those are all open to the public. We're beginning a new year of the committees, and the rule has been that we can have at least one non-member of the LSB for every LSB member on the committee. So if anybody here is interested in serving on the Finance Committee, the Outreach Committee, the Governance and other committees, you can sign up on this list as well, and we'll consult you about the next meeting.
When is it going?
Okay. I'm sorry, folks. I got to take off. My daughter's got some studying to do. So let me be the good father that I am. She's been very patient, but she is the priority. She's the main reason why I come to work every day, because I got to put food and knowledge, food in her belly and knowledge in her mind. Thank you all for attending. You can reach me at IGM@KPFK.org, extension 203. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Jay.
So our next item is item number 5, election of officers. And the first item is chair nominations from the floor. Brenda?
I nominate Paige Graywell.
My second.
Second is
not required.
No second.
Ms. Conklin? I nominate Paige Brooks.
We haven't heard.
Yeah, sorry, we're not.
We'll repeat the
nominees. Yeah, we'll repeat it. We're short of mics today. Let me apologize on today. We normally have more mics, so that's why sometimes we're forgetting to get it all. But if you haven't heard anything, do feel free to do as you've just done. Thank you. Anyway, so at the moment, that's two mics.
So there's been two nominations for chair. Brenda has nominated me, Paige Graywell, and Kim Kaufman has nominated Mr. Seabrook.
Have you passed the chair to the vice chair?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you're running too.
Never mind.
No, but
the vice chair is the chair.
Are there any other nominations? Any other nominations? Hearing none, then each candidate has 2 minutes to say what's on their mind. Tej? Steve? Give him a mic.
Well, I'll just quickly say that, you know, if I am elected chair, that I will do my very best to a meeting on an even keel and not let people speak out of turn, and be very fair to both sides of the room here. And I don't think there's much else to say other than I would execute the duties of notifying people and doing all those things that the chair needs to do. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Steve. Starting
here.
Microphone.
Thank you for the nomination. I have served as chair for the last 2 years and also been working with CDON, with Freedom Now, and have also served as a high school mathematics teacher in LAUSD. And so it's an honor to be nominated to make sure that I'm representing the community, especially the students that I'm teaching in East LA. And I've also taught in South LA and represent through the radio station and to all the listeners of KTFK. And so it would be an honor to continue to serve here to make sure that all the communities are represented.
Thank you, Tej. Now, there are, to be concerned to the rules, 2 questions. 2 board questions, I would assume from 2 separate board members, put to each of the 2 candidates. Who would like to put a question to Steve Brooks? Lawrence? Did Lawrence Mighty? Hold on. Wait a second. Is everybody all right?
Yeah.
Just trying to get out.
You sure?
Just trying to get
out. Oh, I understand now.
Hold on.
Everything okay, brother?
Oh, everything's fine.
Good.
I wanted to talk to Brian before he left.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So, was it Lawrence? You're putting a question to Steve.
So, Mr. Cry, I'm brother.
Brooks. Mr. Brooks.
That would be Steve Brooks.
Sorry. Hold on a sec. It was not. No pun intended. So I've served with you on various committees, and I find it to be very easy. However, one of the things that I have to remember is that you participated in Breaking Point as a chair, which you also be a leader in Breaking Point when you don't see things.
Point of right. Order, personal attack.
Yeah.
Personal attack in a book.
Really? No kidding.
Okay, well, I didn't mean it as a personal attack. I just meant it as a question. I mean, you can choose to answer that or not, but that's one of my concerns.
All right. Would you care to wait for the question? Let's answer per question. Steve?
Okay, well, I will say in terms of if you're asking about quorum attack, personally, I believe that those are a last resort for anyone, at least me in particular. The only reason that I would ever not attend a meeting that's been called is because there's some illegitimacy to that call for that meeting. So, no, I would never promote quorum attack other than out of principle. So I hope that answers your question.
Excuse me, Steve, hold on a second. I mean,
your voices are loud back there.
I know you're talking very quietly in the room, so you just can't even talk quietly in this room, otherwise we're all part of the conversation. It's a strange room. Steve, will you finish?
I'm done.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. A question to Ted.
I have one.
Yes, John.
What would you say the role of parliamentary procedure would be in running a fair meeting?
Well, so far we've been using Robert's rules and giving the vote to the body. And we've been having a parliamentarian, except for the last couple of months. So I've reached out many times during the meeting. I am no professional with Robert's rules. I myself have studied a lot since I've learned a lot from being from chairing different meetings. There's been plenty of times where the body has supported me on, you know, the exact procedure on, you know, on many things. So far it's been Robert's rule and, you know, with the body votes on it. So.
May I ask a follow-up question that has to do directly related to the
chairpoint of the board?
Hold on. We just have one question per candidate.
Thank you.
That's what we have. Let's see how the time goes, maybe, depending on how it goes. I'd like to put a question to Steve, if I may.
Steve, other than chairing the meetings, which is no small feat, I acknowledge that, what do you think the duties of the chair of this board are beyond that?
Making notifications of various other activities. I may not be fully aware of all the other things that I'm aware of at this point. Making the notifications, calling certain meetings, and chairing the meeting.
Okay, fair enough. Question to Tej. Yes.
Well, I'd like to hold on and defer my time to Mr. Crumshaw for his follow-up.
So the last question to Tej, John.
How do you understand the role of the chair in regulating debate rather than in participating in it? For example, if a member were to raise an issue, the chair would simply go on to the next member and not counter what that chair had said. I believe we had evidence of that occurring earlier in this meeting. How would you correct that step so that you would more closely follow parliamentary procedure?
Well, given that, you know, I'm a human being, if that happened one time in this forum, then I thank you for pointing out on how to better correct myself. So in the future, if that is the case, I think pretty much, you know, you guys have supporting me on regulating that also. So I would take your advice right now. So in the future, if I did give a response right now, then, you know, that puts an awareness on me because, again, I'm no expert, but, you know, we take our room from the body here on how to respond to that. So, yeah.
Right. Now, it's public comment.
We have now 7.5 minutes of public comment.
When are we at?
Excuse me, I stand corrected. We have 5 minutes. 1 minute each for anybody from the public who would care. And Rodrigo, again, if you might handle the mic, or Lawrence, are you handling the mic? That's good. So if there are any members of the public who would care to put a question to any of the candidates, we have 5 minutes in total for this. And each member of the public who chooses to speak has 1 minute to make other comments with respect to the election of the chair.
To both candidates.
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. Is somebody timing?
One minute.
Got it. Thank you.
To both candidates. What would you do? What could you do? What should you do?
Hold on. We won't come in here. You're not getting any volume for some reason.
I can speak loudly. Don't worry. What could you do? What should you do? What would you do?
Israel, right? Half an inch from the mic. Right down the center.
Have him check the connection.
Half an inch.
No.
That's better. Go ahead. Give him some.
Can I repeat? What would you do? Could you do to break down, break up this vicious, time-wasting, dysfunctional factionalism? Would you be open to bringing in, Lord? To bring in outside or inside consultants, mediators to help us have more efficient, functional meetings, and therefore, in part at least, have the board play a more positive role in the dire straits that we're in legally, financially, organizationally.
There's no response. I understand.
This is a question for Stephen.
Steve, as a chairperson, would you stay away from ideological tendencies, partisan politics, and the factionalism that Israel speaks about, in a way that you always come to as a neutral party in order to further the professional conduction of the meeting?
And let me be clear, so there's no confusion. These are comments from the public. They're not they don't have to be in the form of a question, and the candidates will not have an opportunity to respond on this agenda. Bella, you're on.
When a member of this board deliberately participates in boycotting a meeting, it tells me, it informs me of malintent. I do not want to see someone like you, although I do respect you, Steve Brooks. I do not want to see someone like you be chair of this, or anyone who has participated in such actions. It has caused all of us, as a listener coming to the meeting and lacking quorum several times, discord, and let alone the reason why we're not going to do business is because of lack of quorum at times. And this has also taken us to court cases and all kinds of issues. So I know that Tesh is being really instigated for parliamentarian issues. Some of us are stronger than others, but the truth of the matter is that she has done the very best in her charge as chair, and I give her the charge again, if that should be the desire of the body. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Nadia. I know I haven't been here much, but I couldn't see so many people coming. I just got a car, so I do plan to come often. But I want to help invest in the station. As chair, I just say, you know, the few times I've come to these, it seems there's so much disorder of different very strong voices, and it's great to see so many strong voices. As chair, what can you all do to help create more of a balance and harmony between everyone and all communities? Because it seems like everyone's kind of fighting against each other to be heard. So just focusing on that is what I would, you know, want to ask a question on. Thanks.
More harmony.
And hold on one second here. How much time do we have left?
I'm only hanging them one at a time.
But there's been four speakers so far?
Yeah.
Okay, they each take an essential of their minutes.
Yeah, well, there's been 25 seconds left over.
Ah, well, but we haven't heard from. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're 1 minute.
I refer to the statement.
Force it to the mic.
Balance and harmony. That's really amazing. Every corner of the city I go, I was at the stop police surveillance. Ted was sitting there bringing these two differences together, helping the movement, you know, to come together and not just help the station, help the movement. Steve, I have not seen you any place, in any corner of the city, you know, to help to build the movement behind FPLK, the station that we are proud of.
Thank you. All right. Instruction, ballot distribution, voting ballot.
Do we get any answers?
We don't get any answers because the agenda doesn't call for it. So I didn't make up the agenda.
Okay.
Item E on the agenda that was adopted by this board. Instructions, ballot distribution, voting, ballot collection, and results. Instructions.
Terry.
You're on, Terry Goodman.
Okay, it's an IRB election, which means there is only one seat to be filled. You can vote for one or two candidates. So if your ballot only has one marking on it, it will be obvious that that's your first choice. If you decide to rank two candidates, then put numbers next to them. Although ranking two candidates in a two-person election only adds confusion. But it's your right to add confusion.
John's now passing out the ballot. Were there any questions about the instructions?
Hold
on one second. Yes.
I object to him giving directions saying, well, if you vote the way you're allowed to vote, it's confusing, so don't do it. That's a bad direction.
Your point is you have every right to vote your first choice and second choice at the discussion.
And we don't need him to say, well, it'll be confusing, so don't do it.
I agree.
May I say something? Yes. Usually people make comments in favor of their candidates, and we didn't have that opportunity today.
Well,
say what it is.
I did not put the questions presented
as well for
a long time.
Actually,
well, those were questions, but they weren't supportive statements.
Okay, then that. We don't control what people say. Choose to say. If people decide they
questions, good questions.
Okay, well then we're
next. So maybe we can correct that next time.
We'll do it after.
I would agree with the question. Following the rules of the law.
So what would you like?
Does everybody on the board have a ballot? John, are you now collecting the ballot? Has everybody had a chance to mark their ballot if they wish? John's now collecting the ballot.
John, is this your picture?
No.
I love those things. I never the picture of whoever did.
No. Oh, he said it was John Gary.
Yeah. No, I know, but people do that. I don't understand. But I get pictures of movie stars for somebody, and there's a movie star up in the corner. You know, it's funny. It's just like that funny.
We should have it.
Yeah. When I sent mine, I always sent a picture of Cary Grant. Nobody ever knows of it. It wasn't me.
There's a lot of food yet. Maybe people are not hungry anymore, but there's a lot of food. Certainly at the end, we don't want it to go to waste. Feel free to eat some more now. There'll be some to take home later, no doubt.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
If I can get everyone's attention, please.
Interested members can come look over my shoulder.
Anyone's welcome to look under Terry's shoulder.
I'm documenting.
Looking at the ballot, and then he'll announce what the ballots say.
I'm documenting this a little more than usual for the sake of the audio so that I can reconstruct the election and provide a thorough teller's report. So right now I'm just unfolding them. I have randomized their order so that they don't match the order of collection. And now I'm going to number each ballot.
Excuse me, while you're doing that, Michael?
The ballots are numbered.
Excuse me.
Oh, they are?
Michael?
Yes. I just want to point out to the public that after we complete this election, there's a meeting of the delegates, and we'll be voting for national board directors, and so I would urge people to stay if they want to comment on that as well.
Actually, after three more elections,
these elections
for this board.
Okay, now I'm announcing the content of each ballot and putting each ballot in the stack of its first choice. Ballot 15 goes to Tej. Ballot 13 goes to Tej. Ballot 12 goes to Tej. Ballot 2 goes to Steve. Ballot 16 goes to Tej. Ballot 18 goes to Tej. Ballot 4 goes to Steve. Ballot 14 goes to Tej. Ballot 3 goes to Steve. Ballot 1 goes to Steve. Ballot 5 goes to Steve. Ballot 7 goes to Steve. Ballot 8 goes to Tej. Ballot 10 goes to Tej. Ballot 9 goes to Tej. Ballot 19 goes to Tej. Ballot 11 goes to Tej. Ballot 6 goes to Steve. Ballot 17 goes to Tej. And I neglected to count the total ballots, but we'll get that and confirm as I count each stack. Stack 1, Tej is stack. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I got 14 votes to read off.
That's not the total of
Steve's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What was my first?
12. Which is 7 and 9.
12 and 7?
Yes, 9. Which is 19.
Does that match the number of ballots I should have?
Yes.
Okay. Then Tej, with the majority, is the winner.
I have a request from a member of the public about the sign-in sheets for the committees. I'm wondering what happened to that clipboard.
Right here.
Can it go out to the public?
We are on item number 5G, vice chair nominations from the floor. Mr. Brooks?
I nominate Steve Pride.
Lydia?
I nominate Jim Lafferty.
Mr. Edison?
You had
a I also nominate Jim Lafferty.
Okay. Jim Lafferty? Are there any other nominations? For vice chair? Okay, nominations are closed. Can we please get a statement from each of the nominees, Mr. Pride and Mr. Lafferty?
I'm Steve Pride. I've been a programmer at KBUK for 20 years now. The show's on for 40 years, so I'm just a newbie. But, I serve on the national two boards already. They're national journal organizations. They're well-run boards, so I'm very familiar with how that's supposed to work and how Robert Rules plays in that arena. I'm very familiar with Robert Rules, and I would be honored to help out Tej, who I do like and admire in any way as a vice chair. Thanks.
I think, by the way, I want to be very clear. I think Steve Pride would make a perfectly fine vice chair. I think I would make a perfectly fine vice chair. I think the key to being any part of the running of these meetings is, of course, to be fair. I think, especially if there's a situation where there may be fewer people on one side of an issue than another, it's very critically important that that side get every opportunity to be heard as fully as the agenda will allow. That has to do with timekeeping duties, which are often the main duty of the vice chair, unless the chair happens to not be here. I think that's something I finally have mastered and works rather well. I think it's also important as a vice chair to be available constantly to consult with the chair. Tej and I do that to some extent now, and I will have more time with the meeting. She should do a little bit more of that with her. I've been serving as fifth vice chair for what, I don't know, some number of months. I hope you feel the service has been decent, and I will promise you the same service in the future.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll take four questions to candidates, two questions each.
So question is about comments to
four.
Two to each.